everybody, and welcome to our discussion group here at Wings Christian Fellowship. Let's start with a word of prayer. How about Buddy?
Father, we just thank you for this day.
Yes,
Lord. Lord, we give you all of the praise and all of the glory for such a beautiful day. Mm-hmm. We ask that you bless everybody here and bless our Bible study. Mm-hmm. Bless all the people that we know and love. And just, you know, take care of us, Father. And just give us a heart to be kind to one another and to, you know, just to receive your word. Just open our eyes and our ears. Let us love instead of being hateful. Mm-hmm. Yes. Father, this world is such a turmoil, but only you can straighten it out, Father.
Thank you.
And we just give you the praise and glory this morning. Thank you for your mercy and grace.
Yes,
amen.
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 Well, we're going to start reading at verse 15. And do we want to read it out of the Amplified Bible today?
All right, 14, 15. 14 or 15, your choice.
I'd like to go all the way to 31, but that's a lot to read.
Well, I can start, and then wherever you want me to stop, I can.
Okay.
All right, I'll start with 14. For the body does not consist of one limb or organ, but of many. And if the foot should say, because I'm not the hand, I don't belong to the body, would it be therefore not a part of the body? And if the ear should say, because I am not the eye, I do not belong to the body, nor would it be therefore not a part of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where would be the sense of hearing? If the whole body were an ear, where would be the sense of smell? But as it is, God has placed and arranged the limbs and the organs in the body, each particular one of them, just as he wished and saw fit and with the best adaptation. But if the whole were all a single organ, where would the body be? Now there are certainly many limbs and organs, but a single body. And the eye is not able to say to the hand, I have no need of you, nor again the head to the feet that I have no need of you. But instead, there is absolute necessity for the parts of the body that are considered the more weak. And those parts of the body which we consider rather ignoble are the very parts which we invest with additional honor and are unseemly parts. And those unsuitable for exposure are treated with seamlessness, modesty, and decorum. Mm-hmm.
Let's stop there for a while, right. For at the end of it. Was that 23 or 24?
That's 23.
Okay. I really like that.
Don't you see the importance of everyone?
It's so true.
You know, in the body.
I want to ask a question. Mm-hmm. How important is it to be together to see that? Mm-hmm. I think we don't understand. I think we sometimes think, well, you know, I don't want this and I don't want that. And basically we're denying what, being honest with you, we're probably denying what the Holy Spirit would give us in wisdom from the body. Mm-hmm. Because so many times we're sitting there defensively, I'm going to choose my words, defensively, but yet we're expecting to be offended. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I'm just being honest with you. I think we're expecting to be offended when God wants us to know, listen to what they say and hear my voice in it. Mm-hmm. And when that happens, we go, oh my goodness, there is no offense. Mm-hmm. And then we're puzzled by that. I think that's one of the great things about the Holy Spirit and God, is that the fact that when we realize how important we are to one another, that the body be not only strengthened but encouraged, and you said it last week, to edify one another, that we're not edifying the flesh in one another, we're edifying the Christ in one another.
Right.
And building up each other as the need arises. I think a lot of times people that don't necessarily meet with us think that we ought to already know something about them, when unless the Holy Spirit visits you in your time with them alone, you won't know nothing about it unless they're there to tell you about it. And it's like, well, why didn't you know that before? I mean, we've actually been had questions like that.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. I mean, and I'm thinking, oh my goodness, I could give you, I think one of the best examples was Paul Beatty. Years ago, I had another relative walk up to him, and she said, I can't believe you're letting me stay at home with a leaky roof. And he goes, I mean, I thought he was excellent on what he said. He goes, you have a leaky roof? She goes, yeah. And he said, well, that's the first time I've heard about it. Who have you told that to? And she looked right at him and said, you, just now.
Oh.
Wait a minute, let me do this real quick. Because it's almost like, let's see, what's the word I'm looking for? We should discern the fact that she needed a roof and it was leaking. I've known the Lord for a few days now, and I've never, ever heard that way that He communicates to me like that. And I think I'm open to the Spirit to talk to me. But I never heard anything like that before. I mean, how can we do something about it if we don't know about it? I mean, am I being too harsh, or is, how would, because it's obviously, the lady wanted us to deal with it.
But many times we have needs that we don't even ask. I mean, God puts us sometimes in position to ask, and we don't. We think that you ought to know and you ought to be able to.
Well, the scripture says you have not for you ask not.
Well, part of the problem is that people think they misunderstand the gifts of the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
Because, you know, if God's given you a spirit of discernment, then sometimes there's times when you can discern something that's going on with somebody without them telling you.
Right.
But you can only do that if the Holy Spirit inside of you begins to say, hey, and draws your attention there. And the thing about it is, this is not a magic show. you know, You don't walk around knowing all, seeing all, and understanding all.
That's right.
You know, you only function in those gifts as God allows you to function in those gifts. Now, there's a difference in, like what Clive was saying, when you know there's a need,
right,
and you don't meet the need,
right,
then that's a different thing. But, you know, it's one of those things where, too, just because sometimes you know there's a need in something, That does not necessarily mean that you're the one that's supposed to meet that need. You know, I'll give you an example. One time, I had someone come that needed some finances, needed some help. Well, they didn't attend the church. You know, their family did. They didn't. The family did. And this particular person, they called me up and well, I'll tell you what it was, but I'm gonna tell you who it was. Mm-hmm. But they called me up and they wanted the church to put a furnace in a house that they was renting. their furnace was out. It was winter time.
They didn't own the house, they were renting.
They were renting.
I'd have called
the landlord. But even still, here's the deal. When that happened, what they don't, you know, they're not at this church now, so I can say this stuff. But when that happened, I got with Jim, and we were the benevolent committee, you know, and I told Jim about it, you know, because I got contacted, he didn't. And I talked to the people, and they, you know, they said that, because I owed them that, because their people did attend this church. But what I tend to do when something like that happens, if there's family in this church, I go to the family. And I say, your relative has a need. Are you willing to meet that need? Or is there some reason why you can't meet that need?
Or the landlord.
Well, yeah, right.
She married.
Right, I mean, but I'm saying in general, not necessarily that particular instance, but whatever, you know, there's other instances, and I could tell you a bunch of them. But anyway, so, you know, when I talk to that person, we can't really help them because we've helped them a bunch of times and we can't really help them now. And I said, okay. And here's exactly what we did. Because they had a couple little kids, we went and bought two space heaters, little square space heaters, you know, those ceramic space heaters, and told them, we will help you with two space heaters. You need to stay in those couple of rooms and block off the other rooms until spring gets here. It was pretty close to springtime anyway. I said, but don't use extension cords and all that kind of stuff because that can create a fire hazard, you know. And, you know, we gave them space heaters. They still never darkened the doors of the church, you know. And we've helped people many times, and they never come to church usually when we help them, you know. And, I mean, we've given money for Christmas presents and all kind of things so that their kids could have Christmas, you know. And I had another situation where they came and, you know, I said, well, did you go and talk to your parents? And it was somebody's parent. And they said, well, no. And then I talked to another person in the church that was related to them. And I told them, you know, so-and-so came and they had a need. I wasn't betraying a trust or anything because these people belong to our church. And the people who was their parents, I knew had money. they weren't hurting at all, you know what I mean. And anyway, so I did, they said no. They said there's no reason why that the actual close relatives shouldn't be able to help them, you know. So I called up the relative and I told him, I said, you got this situation, this is your son, he needs money, he's in problem. I said, he's come to the church. I said, is there any reason why you can't help him? And if he wouldn't have helped him, I mean, I knew this kid because he'd kind of grown up in the church and we would have helped him. But I went back to the source of where he should have went first, see. Not came, jumped past the parents and stuff. And anyway, they helped him, you know. And they said, we've helped him a bunch of times, but we'll get in there and help him. Because I don't want him taking money from the church. And I said, well, it's not a matter of taking money from the church. It's a matter of, this is your relatives, you know. You want to take care of it if you do. If you don't, we'll take care of it. And they took care of it, you know. So, I mean, you know, that sounds funny, but in a way, but you know what? That's where it should go first. They should go there first. That's a family. And then, you know, we still would have helped this young man, you know. And they did help him. And later on, I had the parents call back and tell me they really appreciated me getting in touch with them, you know. But, you know.
He was probably leery about asking his parents because they had helped him a lot of times before.
He probably was. But see, it's one of those situations where, you know, I'll give you one other instance real quick and then I'll be quiet. Had a person come and said that they had a ministry that was wanting them to come into the ministry, you know. And this person was leaving the church, you know, but they hadn't come and talked to the elders or anything, got any kind of counseling or anything else. And they were going to leave the church and go into this ministry with these other people. And they were wanting us to pay their car payment, their rent, and everything else. Yeah, that's what they were wanting. Now, you know, we're a small church. We don't have tons of money. You know what I mean? And the person said to me, they said, well, I know I probably should have came to you guys and talked to the elders to get the blessing of the elders even going out into this ministry. And I said, well, that would have been the right thing to do. And you know, and it wasn't just me, it was me and Jim, and, you know, I don't know, if might have had a couple other people, I don't remember. But anyway, here's what I said to him. I said, listen, I said, if that other ministry invited you to come into the ministry, they should have sat down and counted the cost of you coming into the ministry. And if they could not bring you into the ministry and supply your needs, that your basic needs that you had, then I don't know if they heard from the Lord. I said, I said, now, we did help them some, you know, but not to the extent that, that they wanted to be helped, you know. And I told them, I said, I'm going to tell you something. I said, God is a God of provision. And I said, I've always told the Lord, if you call me in any kind of ministry, if you don't supply my needs, then you don't want me there. Because he's promised to supply your needs, according to his riches and glory.
Yes.
And I said, and I will tell you something else. David said, once I was young and now I'm old, but I've never seen the righteous forsaken nor their seed begging bread. I said, when I have a need, I don't take my need to the people. Mm-hmm. I take my need to the Lord. And I'm going to tell you what, anytime I've ever taken it to the Lord, he's always met it. And sometimes he'll meet it through the people, but I didn't have to go and tell him anything, you know. And I prayed about a situation one time, and I'm going to tell you what, and about a week or so later, I had somebody call up and say, I want to do this, you know, I want to do this for you. And I said, well, I said, are you really sure? I mean, I was almost talking them out of it, which I really should have been doing. They said, no, you know, and I said, well, you know, and that person blessed me for a long time. And I never said a word to them. And then when they said, they let me know that, you know, that was going to stop. And I said, well, I thank you and I appreciate it. I said, but, you know, and I told him, I said, I hadn't told him this before. I said, I had been praying and I had asked the Lord. I said, Lord, you know my needs. And I told him what it was. And I said, and a week later, you called me. I said, so I just told you that so that you would know that you really was hearing from the Lord.
Quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath.
And you know what? I like what, I can't remember the guy's name right offhand, but the one guy who ran the missions,
Carl Marka?
Carl Marka.
No. This was big time missions. This was, Brother Eddie used to talk about it. He
Herman Russell.
No. It's not anybody we know.
Oh, okay.
No, personally. This guy, the Lord let millions of dollars pass through his hands.
Oh, yeah.
He never, ever told anybody what his needs was. He always went straight to the Lord. And, you know, one of the examples that he started all kind of orphanages in England and different places, you know. And when he was pastoring a church, he just put a box in the back, and he said he never mentioned money. He never told people that the offerings were down or this or that. And he said God always supplied. And he had one person to come to him one time and said, I inherited a bunch of money, and I just want to know if you have any needs. And he said, we did have a need. And he said, I want to know if you have a need. And he said, I want to give you X amount of dollars if you have a need. He said, if you feel like you're supposed to give me X amount of dollars, then that's what you should do. I'm not going to tell you if I had a need. He said, I take all my needs to the Lord, and he supplies according, you know. And to be honest with you, 90% of the people who are on the TV who say that they are a faith ministry, they're not a faith ministry. Because if they have to get up there and hound you about giving money, then they're not trusting God. They're trusting you. And I can tell you, I've never told anybody in this church that I've ever had a need, you know, financial need or anything else. And I don't tell people because I trust in the Lord. that he will supply all my needs according to his riches and glory. I mean, you know, I and I'm not saying this to do anything with me, but I didn't receive any kind of, you know, salary or anything for doing this church for probably the first 15 years that I did things, you know, because I chose to make sure that Brother Eddie and Audrey kept getting the money, you know. And, you know, that was really my choice, because I could have said no after a while, because I brought it to the elders, and they, you know, eventually, but even before that, I had Daryl call me up one time and said, even after Eddie died, he called me up and he says, well, Oscar, he said, you know, Brother Eddie died. He says, what are we going to do? I said, what do you mean, Daryl? He says, what are we going to do financially about Audrey? I said, well, what do you mean? I said, we'll continue to give Audrey everything that she got before. Until you know what we did up until she went in to the nursing home. Yeah. She can't receive money when you go in the nursing home. They'll take it. Anything you get, they'll take it. Mm-hmm. You know, so, you know, and I did start receiving some money then, not because I asked for it, because some brother said, I think we should pay Brother Oscar some money, and they started giving me some money. But I didn't tell, I still never told anybody I needed it or that I wanted it even, you know. I just said, well, if that's what you guys feel like you should do, then fine. But I'm going to tell you, there's a difference in, you know, people a lot of times will, when they have a need, if they're not real strong in the faith, a lot of times, sometimes they won't come and even let you know they have a need. Mm-hmm. And then you're supposed to magically know that they've got a need and supply that need. You know, if you remember the story of the lady that Elijah went to, God's, you know, he sat by the brook Cherith, and the Lord fed him by the ravens and so on and so forth. Well, I mean, if you know where the brook Cherith was, it was close to the garbage dump in outside the walls. So sometimes God has you sitting in not the best place. And the ravens came and fed him, you know. Okay. And anyway, God told Elijah to go down to this certain woman's house. And he said, and I've spoken to her. And he went down there. And when he went down there, she was going to feed her son. She had enough meal and a cruse of oil. It said, and a cruse, if you look up the meaning of that, it's a little pan of oil. It's not a lot of oil. So she had a little bit of meal and a little saucer of oil. That's all she had. And when he went down there, Elijah said to her, what are you doing? She says, well, I'm going to make this cake, and me and my son, we're going to eat, and we're going to die. So I tell you, it wasn't much, you know. And Elijah said, well, he said, go and make me a little cake first. And he said, and, you know, basically, God will bless you. And that woman didn't, when he said that to her, she didn't say, oh, you know what? The Lord told me that. She didn't say that. God had spoken into her spirit. She didn't even know that he had spoken. What do you think made her give that him that meal and said, and verily the cruse never ran dry.
Never ran dry.
Or the meal never ran out. Yep. And it wasn't a lot. It was just a little, but it kept supplying itself. And that was like gold. Lily one time told about not having no food when they were over in Africa when she was here. And I'm quiet after that. And she said that they had, I think she said they had one can of beans or something. You know, that's all they had in their pantry. And she said, this person came by and says, I need some food. She says, well, all we got is one can, but we'll give it to you. And you gave her all that they had. Remember about the woman with the coin with Jesus? Gave more than them all. And she said the next day, somebody showed up with all kind of groceries to refill the pantry. And man, that's the way God is. But everybody thinks that you, just because God uses you prophetically or sometimes with a spirit of discernment, that you know everything that's going on and you got all the answers. And you should know this. And how come you didn't know that? And how come you didn't minister to me in this situation, in that situation? I mean, it's kind of crazy when you think about it, you know.
I loved how you said somebody showed up. I got like this. The board showed up.
Yeah, he did. He did.
You know, might as well give credit to where credit's due. I want to read this one verse out of here, out of the J.B. Phillips.
Which verse is it?
I don't have any numbers. It might be close to your last one. But it said, but God has arranged all the parts in one body according to his design. How precious is that?
Mm-hmm. Amen.
According to his design.
Right.
So, you know, we need to, let's see. Well, I'll say that later.
Yeah, that's verse 24. The next verse, I stopped at 23.
Was that the next one?
The next verse that you just read. Mm-hmm. You want to read?
Yeah.
It said, which are more, it's talking about the appearance saying for exposed, exposure are treated with seamless, you know, modesty and decorum, but which are more presentable parts do not require. But God has so adjusted, mingled, harmonized, and subtly proportioned the parts of the whole body, given the greater honor and richer endowment to the inferior parts which lack apparent importance. We're going verses so that there should be no division or discord or lack of an adaptation of the parts of the body to each other, but the members all alike should have mutual interest in and care for one another.
Oh, that's beautiful.
Can I, one thing that keeps coming to me as we read this part of the scripture is, we need to discern the body. Mm-hmm. Has God created all?
Even if
they don't realize, there are those who do not realize that Christ is in them. Are they still not a part of the body? You know? And I think that should take away a lot of the division in the church, when we discern the body. Who is our brother? Who is our sister? You know? I think that should take away, that's part of all creation standing on tiptoes looking for the fruits, you know, the first fruits.
Manifestation of the
Yeah. When we discern that all men, all women, you know, God has created all, and he's in all, but they don't recognize it yet. Does that mean they are not, they still have a part in the body? Go ahead.
Your question was exactly what was your question? About discerning who's the body of Christ?
Yes.
Okay. I think if we treat everybody the same, and that means whether they know Jesus or not, they will probably know him sooner.
Well, I like this, in this, which is the NIV, it says, 25 says there's no such, should be no division in the body, but that its parts should have equal concern for each other.
Oh, I love that. That's good.
Yes,
that's good.
It's, everybody's equal.
That story I told you all in a sermon, and I mentioned it last week about the weeds growing up in my backyard, you know, and me pulling them about and breaking them. You know, it was my job to cut the grass. Margaret was to weed the 40-foot long flower bed. Okay, I went out there and I saw these things real tall, and I thought, oh my God, she ain't weeding this thing forever. I hadn't been paying attention to it, and I pulled them up by the roots and broke them and throw them in the yard. And she come out on the deck and start hollering at me. She said, what are you doing? I said, what do you mean? She says, you broke my trees. Your trees. I said, those look like weeds. I said, I said, those look like weeds. I thought they was weeds. I said, I figured you hadn't weeded this thing forever. I broke them, I threw them down. Well, she said it was a real fast growing tree. I'll tell this as quick as I can. And she said, I was gonna plant them along that hillside so it would shade the deck. And we had a small backyard, you know, where we lived. And anyway, the Lord had been dealing with me, my people perish for lack of vision, you know, and he had given me the scripture about Jesus, and I knew I was going to speak, but I didn't know the context of how I was supposed to bring all this. And he had given me that scripture about where Jesus anointed the blind man's eyes. And he said, what do you see? He said, I see men walking about as trees. Then he prayed for him again. He said, now what do you see? He said, I see every man clearly. And what the Lord was showing me graphically along with that scripture was, he was showing me that until we see every man as a tree of the Lord, mm-hmm. a fruit, potential fruit bearing yes. tree, mm-hmm. we don't see mm-hmm. every man clearly. Mm-hmm. We don't, we see with a fogged vision, so to speak. We don't really see clearly. And you know, that's what you're saying basically, yes. is that you're saying that, you know, until we realize everybody is really a part of the body of Christ, mm-hmm. whether they know it or not, they haven't come into the reality of it. And our part is, if God so bids us to do it, to help bring them into the reality mm-hmm. of who they really are, that so they don't walk around in mistaken identity, mm-hmm. and so that we don't look at them with mistaken identity,
right.
you know, because we have a tendency, we look at people with mistaken identity too. You know, some of the most powerful preachers you ever want to meet are ones that come out of the pit of hell almost. I mean, you know, I don't know if it was Sonny Cuesta, was he in prison because he killed somebody or something? Or
it was about drugs and stuff like that.
He'd done some pretty bad stuff. But that guy could preach the cross, and you could feel the nails going in the hands just about when he did it.
I heard
it. You know.
That's when I got saved.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
That's the hammer. You're the nail. Anyway. Oh, yeah.
But there's a...
Never forget.
There's a lot of, you know, and yet if you looked at him before he gave his life to the Lord, you know, here he was... A guy in prison, a junkie, maybe some. I thought sure that they said he had actually killed somebody, mm-hmm. and maybe he did to get drugs or something. I don't remember. It seemed like I remember hearing that.
There is a thing in the world.
Yeah.
That was to set us against each other.
Right.
Old from young, rich from poor, black right. from white, mm-hmm. and divide everyone into you're the good guy and I'm the bad guy. That's not true.
Yeah.
That is not what God says. Mm-mm. We are all we are all his creation.
Right. Well, he died for the sins of the whole world.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And the whole world is all of it.
They're waiting
know?
For, the yeah. creation is waiting for that realization right. to come.
Right. I was watching Young Sheldon the other night, and that show cracked me up. But anyway, Sheldon wanted to try to get them to let him look at some of the scientific telescopes because mm-hmm. he was going to see if there was life out there, you know, and all this. And when he was talking to different people, and he told his mother something about it, you know, and I don't remember the exact phrases of what she said, but I think she said something along the line. She says, well, you know, Jesus died for the whole world and for everything. So even if they're out there, he died for them too. And, you know, naturally he's kind of stubbed up because he don't necessarily believe in God. But I was thinking, it was nice that Dad got thrown in there, you know, because she was a Christian,
yes,
you know. But I had to kind of smile. I thought, well, that's true, you know.
It is true.
So even if there is something else out there, God, he died for the sins of that too, you know. But, you know. Whatever.
He's all scientific. He's all
that's funny. No, it's funny. But well, until we, and sometimes it's hard because when you see where some people are, it's hard to figure, my God, you know, they're part of us. They're part of the body of Christ. You know, if he died for the sins of the whole world and he reconciled everybody, like the scripture said, you know, God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, not in putting their trespasses, then we have to quit in putting their trespasses. Amen. If we're really going to understand what that scripture says. And boy, I tell you, people will fight you over that. I mean, they will. They'll fight you over that. And, you know, but you know, if we're going to believe what the word says, we have to take it like it says it, you know.
What do you remember, David Wilkerson? I was sitting here thinking, you know, if there's some guy standing in front of me with a gun pointed at my head, it'd be really hard for me to think of him as part of the body of Christ. You know, yet David Wilkerson said to, you know his name,
Nicky Cruz.
That, you know, if you can cut me up in a million pieces and all of the pieces will cry out that Jesus loved you. Uh-huh. I can't stop telling you. And there he was. He was a part of the body of Christ and didn't even know it yet.
Yeah. Now he killed someone.
Yes.
Nicky Cruz
did. Yes.
And Nicky Cruz really ministered to a lot of, you know, a lot of gang type people after that later on. And I think people in South America and places like
and
that.
Yeah, and then it started out on the streets of New York.
Yeah, started out there,
Hallelujah.
I went to one of his, David Wilkerson's revival things they had at Princeton High School one time years ago. Mm-hmm. And did you guys go to that?
I don't think so.
Yeah. Me and Margaret went. And they had him at Princeton High School a lot of years ago.
Was it David? Or
it was David Wilkerson. Mm-hmm. I don't know if he's even. I think he's probably went on to be with the Lord. He'd have to be really old by now. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I would think so. But yeah, we went to one of his, you know, years and years ago. But Well, that's the thing, folks. We're going to come into the reality of wanting to set creation free. You know, if Romans the 8th chapter is really the center of the Bible, when you get into it, and for us, I believe, for the Gentiles, you know, that all creation is groaning and travailing, waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God. And I like the way it says it in the Phillips, man. It's wonderful because it says they can't as yet see reality, you know. And we're going to be a part of bringing them into the reality of God, you know. And the scripture says that the heavens must retain him, talking about Jesus, until the restitution of all things, you know. So who's going to do that work? Mm-hmm. Maybe it's us. You know, I believe it is us, you know.
David Wilkerson died in 2011. He was 79 years old. And I think the guy you were talking about, the pastor, was George Mueller.
Yeah, it was Mueller. You're right, George Mueller. He never told anybody when he had a need. I had some of his books, one or two of his books, and George Mueller. They're really, really good, really good stories. When people would ask him if he had a need, he would tell them. He would tell them, if you feel like you're supposed to, then you be obedient or whatever. But he wouldn't tell me how to need, you know. He took it straight to the Lord. And I'll tell you, Lord always met him.
You know, I was thinking about Betty, when her mind was starting to get very clear that we were still coming. She kept talking about complete. God was showing her something. And she kept trying to give it to us, explain. Uh-huh. But she just kept speaking up complete. And I just believe God was showing her that everything, we are complete in him.
In him.
Everything is complete in him. But she just kept saying complete. That word, she just, and then we went to see her. When we go to see her, she lets you know that she can't, she's mixed up on things.
You don't understand.
Don't understand, I don't understand. You know, it's not clear to her. But they were doing a memorial service for this one man that was a Christian that had passed. And we went to it, and I didn't know, because she hadn't been the one, the friend of ours, Martha, that we all had went to the Church of God. She said she was concerned because Betty stopped going to the services and that. And I said, because she told me she don't understand. Mm-hmm. So I said, but in this service, this man made things so simple and spoke about this man and how much he loved the Lord and how he prayed for others. And when the pandemic was, you couldn't have visits, he had a Bible study for the ones in there. And then two other men talked about him, and Betty looked, and I believe there was things she was receiving because she did not look confused.
No one smiled at us.
Yeah, she smiled and she sat and looked attentively as mm-hmm. he was sharing. Mm-hmm. And then these two other gentlemen talked about what this man meant to their life mm-hmm. and the prayers he did. When we pray with Betty, she's in the spirit. She's praying, not this natural mind. God. Yes. Yes. Beautiful.
Well, I don't know if any of you is aware of this or not, but a few years before Brother Eddie kind of quit ministering, mm-hmm. Might have been 2 or 3 years before that, I would run into some people, that used to come to church here. Out somewhere, and I had a couple of them tell me different times that they were out by one of the big shopping centers or something like that, and they'd say they ran into Brother Eddie, and they'd say, and he didn't know where he was. Mm-hmm. He had no idea where he was, but yet he'd come to church on Sunday and preach a message. But see, that's the nice thing about the Holy Spirit. Even when your physical, mental capacities slip a little bit or something, mm-hmm. His anointing can rise up in you, and you'll be as clear as a bell when you share the word.
The things of this world will grow strangely dim.
Yeah.
And in 1984, I was taking care of this woman. She was 95, doing private care with her niece was a friend of the family. And she never wanted you to hug her. She was a chain smoker. Her sister was a millionaire. And they were from in Michigan. And when her sister, her husband died before, but he had it all set up that she had full care in her home. And then she had said that she left her sister, who was a manicurist. She went to people's homes that had money. And that she, gave her $1 million, had given her, so she had private care at the nursing home. And she never wanted to hug you. She would go, when I come in, because I always hug you, I'm going to go in for that. And she didn't want, and then I'd pray with her, I'm going for that. And then she said, here's her cigarettes, and you can take her outside, to smoke. Mm-hmm. And I thought, she only asked for them, not all for them, which I did. So she had been a chain smoker. Quit smoking. She got so I would hug her, pray for her. I would come, and she would say, we had a birthday party. And I pray, and my mom played the piano. And Elizabeth and John, this is Elizabeth, this is Savannah's mom, sang. She said, whose birthday is it anyway? And I said, it's yours, mine. And she said, well, how old am I? I said, 95. I said, oh, don't nobody live together. She got pneumonia, she was in the hospital, and I went, and this is in 84. And I was talking to her and praying. God said, bypass her natural mind and speak to her. And I began to speak and pray. But even before then, she had given, now she didn't tell me I'd give up my heart to the Lord, but she had committed her life to the Lord because I didn't come, I was sick, something I didn't come. And she said, where have you been? She said, you know, I prayed and asked God to bless you, and I asked him to give you a double blessing. Mm-hmm. And I thought, and I spoke at her service in Dayton. I said, boy, you know, the people that God brings you in contact mm-hmm. with, right. And she's so person like B. I really miss mm-hmm. B. We're going, her son's having a birthday party today, this evening, we're going to them, nice. Invited us, they're having a cookout and stuff. Mm-hmm. And they texted us, because I keep in touch with the one son and that. But I got, me and Buddy got this card, we're getting cards. We pray about them as we get, and it was at Hobby Lobby. And this one card was to son, and I read it. And it was just like what B would say, because she had me pick out her cards that she yeah. gave to people. And I got this card to him from his, it was going to be from B, because this is the first birthday he's had mm-hmm. without his mother. I started to cry. And I'm so anxious to go there, because I know that God is just going to bless him and bless them. Mm-hmm. And we go there, and he said, no presents. My buddy and I got, it's a figurine made out of nuts and bolts, you know, oh, you've yeah. seen those. Yeah. And it's a golfer. It's the only one they had. But we asked this young guy, do they have anything for golf? He said, oh, yeah. And they had other little figurines out there, like for instruments, and the only one little, I can't wait to just give them. And Kevin read these cards. We got two cards to give him. He picked one up because he's going to be 70. Yeah. And I am excited because I just know he's going to be blessed. And that card, because I picked out all their cards all these 6 years, who picked out their cards has been me, mm-hmm. that from their mother, and then she read them, that's the one. When I read that, I saw son, and I read that, it was just like her speaking. Mm-hmm. I can't wait to give it to him. I signed it. He calls it a B sometimes, I call her mom, but I signed it mom, B, and I can't wait to give it. Mm-hmm. I know it's going to be blessed.
That's the joy of the Lord all over you.
Oh, I just been had the gift all, got it all back, and we can't wait to go there and see them. God, it's just so, but we missed y'all. I tell you.
It looks like next week we'll probably talk about the fivefold ministry, and then we'll be done with chapter 12. Mm-hmm. I'm so excited to get into 13. I think that's the most beautiful chapter. So the next 2 weeks should be hallelujah time here. But it all is, isn't it? Amen. Anybody else got anything here? We didn't really talk so much about, it says something about the lesser members. You know, there's, first of all, they were talking about the members, you know, what is your place in the body? And then before that, they were talking about your gifts. So is there a difference between your position in the body, what part you are, and the gifts that you've been given? Because that really interests me. Because it says something about seek ye the best gifts. Mm-hmm. Well, what is the best gift?
The one that's needed at the moment.
Exactly.
That's really the best gift. The one that a particular person needs.
Yes. Yeah. I don't. Maybe we ought to talk about what gift it is you think you have, or what part of the body you think you are.
Well, can I say this?
Sure.
A lot of people don't realize it, and I think there's a real misconception mm-hmm. in this. But sometimes when God even has blessed you tremendously financially, a lot of people think, well, you know, I did this on my own. I pulled myself up by my bootstraps, mm-hmm. and I did this and I did that. And sometimes your calling is to be a blessing to other people. Mm-hmm. And if God has tremendously blessed you, He didn't give you the tremendous financial blessing or whatever just so that you can hoard it up and stick it back somewhere and leave it to your kids or leave mm-hmm. it to your grandkids or leave it to so many generations down the road. He let you get that so that you could be a blessing to people. Mm-hmm. And a lot of times I think that people, they're wanting to have a you know, a word of knowledge or a prophetic word or or whatever it is. But I got news for you. Those blessings are just as essential to the body of Christ mm-hmm. as somebody giving you a prophetic word or mm-hmm. or giving you a word of knowledge or having the gift of being able to pray for you and you be healed, mm-hmm. you know. And so many times people keep thinking to themselves, well, I don't really have a gift. Well, yes, you do. Yeah. Oh, yes, you do. Everybody has something to give to the body of Christ, the gift of helps or yes. whatever it is, mm-hmm. you know.
The gift of encouragement.
And that's just as important. There's none of them more important than the others, really, mm-hmm. when you get down to it. You know.
But the world was always, Kate had come with this pay it forward, uh-huh. which is what we should do.
Right.
You know, that whatever right. blessing God has blessed us in.
Right. Right.
There's this giving it forward. And, you know, I said sometimes you see what the world comes up with things they said is really what God is saying.
And they don't even realize mm-hmm. it yet.
Yep.
Okay, well, I think it's about time to close. Do I have a volunteer?
Yes, I will. Father, we thank you for gathering together, and we thank you for the sweet savor of you yes. that we receive from one another, Lord. And we thank you that we're able to hear you, to see you in one another, and as you bring forth yourself even greater in our lives, that you may be glorified. God, we thank you for this gathering. We ask you, as we go forth, Father, that you be glorified in the service we're going to. Just be lifted up and glorified. Mm-hmm. And we thank and give you praise, for we ask it all. In Jesus' name.
Amen. 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 Praise the Lord.